And welcome back. After Martin Luther King was assassinated 45 years ago, hundreds of American communities sought to honor him by naming streets, avenues, and boulevards in his honor. St. Louis and East St. Louis were among them. Often, these thoroughfares are found in areas in need of physical and aesthetic improvement, and that's where Beloved Streets of America comes in. This organization is trying to effect such improvements and correct what its founder calls disrespect to Dr. King. The project is starting in a handful of cities in the East, South, Midwest, and Northwest. St. Louis and East St. Louis are among the cities. Joining me in studio to talk about it, Melvin White, President and CEO of Beloved Streets of America, also called BSA, and Derek Lauer of Lauer Architecture, the architect behind the BSA master plan and designer of a special park planned for St. Louis. General, thanks so much for being with us.
How are you doing? It's a pleasure.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, have you got a voice for radio?
Oh, thank you.
Just right. Okay. I'm going to shut up and just let you talk.
Okay.
Melvin, nice to have you with us.
It's a pleasure.
Tell me in more detail how this got started.
It started maybe 8 years ago just by looking at the redevelopment up along Delmar. It was the beginning of the development of the Delmar Loop. I noticed how it was thriving. Businesses were coming back to the area. And just a mile down the road, I just happened to drive down and just looked at the name on the street sign, Martin Luther King. But what was surrounding Martin Luther King were drugs, poverty, abandoned buildings, and it just didn't match up with what his legacy is about, you know.
Unfortunately, this is a picture that has been painted in many communities.
Many communities.
The country.
At that point, I wanted to find out what was it like. In these other cities, I used to hear all kind of jokes being cracked about the dangers and violence of coming down Martin Luther King Street. So at that point, over the last 7 years, we've visited some of the major cities, filmed them, we have a documentary actually, Miami, Houston, Texas, Detroit, L.A., some of these major cities, and we found that the majority of them were in distressed neighborhoods and need of repair. So
well, you mentioned the number of jokes, and I know you've heard the one that that Chris Rock
yes.
has told.
I'll
bet you
out.
Everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. We're going to play it one more time because mm-hmm. I want to give you a chance to make a point about that. Chris Rock talking about the Martin Luther King avenues and streets and boulevards across the country.
You know what's so sad, man? You know what's wild? Martin Luther King stood for nonviolence. Now what's Martin Luther King? A street. And I don't give a where you in America, if you're on Martin Luther King Boulevard, there's some violence going down. It ain't the safest place to be. You can't call nobody, tell them you lost on MLK. I'm lost. I'm on Martin Luther King. Run! 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 The media's there.
That's Chris Rock. And Melvin White, you know, I've seen you interviewed before, and I know you don't like people making jokes.
No.
And we certainly respect that. However, Chris Rock is making people laugh, but he's also making a very important point. And I think that through his comedy, he's really assisting you. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, to a certain degree, yes, he is. You know, he's touching bases on a problem that should be already known. You know, it's a known problem. You know, that exists. So he's kind of touching light on that. You know.
Well, the thing about it is that he's brought attention to it,
exactly.
But yet we need to come up with a solution. What do you do about it? How do you fix it? And that's where Beloved Streets of America has come in.
Well, you know, he's a pretty funny guy, and he's got a lot of different routines, and what you're trying to do is just eliminate this routine from his repertoire, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that
exactly.
What you're up to? Let's talk a little bit about what specifically you have in mind. And this is, as I've indicated, a national operation. It's all over the country, and you want to expand it. But let's talk about what you have in mind. For here in St. Louis and East St. Louis?
We have what we call the Legacy Park / Legacy Corner. We have an office located at 5901 Dr. Martin Luther King, and we were fortunate enough to get a lot which sits across the street at 5916 Dr. Martin Luther King, where we have proposed a Legacy Park where we honor. We feel like a lot of culture and history has been left out of the neighborhood, and we want to start by bringing the culture and history side back to the neighborhood by honoring some of our heroes of the past. You know, it'll be various plaques placed around the park, which was designed by Derek Lauer, Mr. Lauer, next to me. He can explain a little bit more about the park and what's going on with the actual what's in the park, you know. But
yeah,
go ahead, Derek.
The way that we've planned it is that we're going to have a circular sidewalk, which has around it exhibits that address certain key points of, that Dr. King was making, as well as that have recognition of other famous St. Louisans that were critical to shaping our culture. And within that park are then many opportunities for citizens and corporations of St. Louis to have donation plaques to show their support of our efforts, because the park is really just a beginning point for the renovation of all of the Martin Luther King Drive in St. Louis as well as other cities. And so we have planned there a central stage that would have a place to have music and speeches and events and gatherings, and so sort of be sort of a central focal point for the community redevelopment that we're proposing.
I have a picture in front of me, and it's a very handsome sight, I must say. But, you know, it looks like it's going to cost a few bucks to put this thing together. Where's the money going to come from?
Well, we have a couple of things that we have a program where we're trying to have, again, a private citizen purchase bricks and things like that. But then there's also opportunities for corporations or large organizations to support the park by donating for certain pieces. There's sculpture parts, there's benches, there's signage, there's actually a covered stage. So there's an opportunity there for sponsorship. There's also flagpoles and things like that. And then in addition to that, we're also seeking out federal grant money and other forms of sponsorship.
This is a tough nut to crack, coming up with the dollars for a project like this, is it not? How much do you think it's going to take to get the ball rolling?
Initial phase one would get us started with $100,000, but the completion is right around $500,000 to get everything in order to unveil to the St. Louis area.
And what that would be is that first $100,000 would take care of doing the concrete flat work and preparing the site and doing some of the initial plantings and some of the landscape and such, and then completing the park design with the exhibits, the covered stage, the artwork, and the flagpoles would be the second phase, and that would be an additional sort of $400,000. So.
And this legacy park is proposed for Hamilton and Martin Luther King.
Exactly.
What about the rest of the street? It is shabby. It is in need of the improvements.
It is in great need
of beautification.
Yes, it is. And that we have a master plan that we are going to unveil to the St. Louis area in June, first week in June, that we're going to do a proposed renovation of the whole street, and we hope to gain momentum for people to investors to come back, other businesses that ran away from Martin Luther King because of the stereotype. We hope for them to be able to come back on these streets and create economic revitalization on these streets.
And the way that we're planning to go about that is really to break down the whole revitalization into three phases: things that can be done immediately, things that are part of repairs and renovations to existing structures, and then infill development. And so the way that we see the things that can be done immediately can be done for almost no cost, and that's where we're seeking volunteers. So not only are we looking for private citizens to donate a little bit of money, but also if you got some time and an interest in it, we have some things that we're going to do immediately, such as a litter pickup initiative, a signage initiative, a board up and security initiative, maintenance of some of the vacant lots, trim and remove some of the overgrowth of trees, reverse some of the vandalism that's been done, and then remove some of the structures that are beyond repair. And that gives us the opportunity to salvage some of the materials from the neighborhood for reuse. So there's some things that we can be done immediately that are almost no cost.
A lot of it is just very basic, simple cleanup.
And then at the second phase, when we're talking about repair and renovation, this is a different distinction between our approach to this development from other things that are going on, is that we're not trying to seek large developers to come in and try and make money off of certain pieces or parcels of this. What we're trying to do is have it come from within the community so that we're sort of maintaining the community, so that we're creating opportunities and an environment so that we're not displacing anybody.
I want to open the lines to our audience to see what they think of the project, and some might be interested in finding out how they can become involved. So let's do that. 382-8255 is our number. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on air. You can reach us through Facebook. We have a call from Linda in St. Louis. Linda, thank you for coming in. You're on the air.
Hi. I think this is a wonderful idea. I think that, and I'm in the neighborhood driving in my car. I'm at Goodfellow and Wells. And so I'm right around the corner from there. And it is very depressing. And so something like that I think would be really wonderful to start. But it has to be some recreation opportunities created for the city of St. Louis, especially on this side. The recreation department is actually non-existent, you know, except for them having the YMCA to administer the use of city taxpayer property and charging for it. So, yeah, you know, maybe some Proposition P money can help, because they're supposed to be helping the park. You know, but I think that, you know, a lot more needs to be done than just a park, but creating a place for a community where they can come together for positive recreation is really a good thing, and it's a good start.
Linda, thank you so much for the call. You be careful. If you're driving and on the phone, you ought to pull over. But thank you so much for the call. Did you want to respond to Melvin? Go ahead.
This is just the first phase. We definitely want the community's input on some of the development that we have planned. You know, we have meetings that you can attend. We're at 5901 Dr. Martin Luther King. We have meetings every Tuesday, and we're looking for the public to give us ideas on what they think is needed in the area. You know, the park is just the first phase, and we feel like if we can pull the park off, that it's a great step at getting the rest of the area revitalized.
And if I may, to address the issue of having additional recreation opportunities, is that we have a whole series of amenities planned that are part of the development. So that includes things such as daycare centers, preschools, worship centers, community gardens, parks, playgrounds, neighborhood markets, a bicycle shuttle service, then other things such as visitor centers, retail shops, restaurants, produce markets, and things like that, that we can have not only provide things for the community, but these are also opportunities to employ people from the community that provide opportunities for growth and revitalization beyond just trying to have a developer come in and build something. These are things that we're providing opportunities for expansion within the community.
And create jobs. I know that's part of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And there's an educational component to this, Melvin. As I understand what your vision is, there's an educational component as well.
Yes.
Well, you know, we've been working quite a bit with Washington University, and then I'm also associated with Art Institutes of St. Louis, and we're looking to involve students to help with several things, such as some of the graphic work for some of the signage. We're looking at some of the film and video students to help with some documentary issues. We've got even culinary students going to help with some of providing food for some of the events. But not only that, it's a chance for us to show that these colleges are supportive of what we're doing, but then also provide chances for people in the community to gain further education by opening up that dialogue.
Let's go back to the phones and bring in Tom. He's calling from the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to call in today, and first off, I'd like to encourage the guests that are speaking to also tap into the University of Missouri St. Louis community. We have a fine political science department here that would probably help with policy initiatives in addition to thousands of students that I'm sure would be interested in supporting. And then lastly, I'll hang up and listen to the answer. Are the best ways to get involved right now to go to those Tuesday meetings? And if so, what time are those at? Are there any other litter type cleanups or things that you discussed that local community activists could get involved with soon? Thank you, guys, and great work.
Tom, stay tuned. I'll have the information on that on the event that's taking place on Monday, I guess that's when it is. Yeah. But go ahead, Melvin, go ahead.
We'll have several series of events going on within the next couple months or so. We have the outdoor concert series, fundraising concert series, where we have it'll be May 11th. Where we're going to have try to bring diversity back to the neighborhood. Our first group that we'll have is the Latin group.
Clave Soul.
Clave Soul. Yeah. And we want to show diversity and bring diversity back to the neighborhood and get the stereotype that away from people being afraid to come on the street. So this is part of our monthly concert, outdoor concert fundraising series, as well as we've been engaging on giveaways on the lot. Washington University give us donates us food, and we give back to the community. We're also looking forward to the second annual MLK Legacy Walk, which we had last year, the first MLK Legacy Walk, where this year to fall on August 31st, and we're going to walk up down Martin Luther King Street and hopefully meet at the lot and we're just showing that, hey, we're trying to revitalize these streets and bring Dr. King's legacy back to where it's supposed to be. So we have several events coming up.
In addition to those events, like I said, we're trying to nail down a date to do the litter pickup initiative, and that would be a great opportunity for people who want to help to just sort of put hands on, hands on. And
do you have a website where people can?
We have a website. It's belovedstreets.org. You can reach us at 389-2442. That's our office number. And we're looking for volunteers. And we want this to be a St. Louis thing to get complete, And once we do this, we feel as though East St. Louis is already interested in bringing that same initiative over there to their side already. So we spoke with city planners over there in East St. Louis as well. So
we'll put the information you've just given on our website, stlpublicradio.org, put a link so folks can get to it. One of the things that Tom mentioned that would seem to me would have some prospects is getting the public policy people from the university involved, particularly when it comes to looking for grant money and that sort of thing. You have to be fairly sophisticated to go after those bucks. Are you aware, Derek, of any specific grants out there that could be available to you?
Well, not as of yet. That's part of the research that we're doing. It's a difficult endeavor to kind of, especially with the state of the federal government having, the sequester, a lot of these monies that were available are no longer available. Yeah. So if there's anybody out there who has information about that, we would certainly be open to suggestions.
Or who has any cash on hand.
That'd be great.
And along that line, we are having an event on Monday night that's in part with the Creative Exchange Lab that's up by Crown Candy.
Right.
And so Monday night we are having an event that we're looking to.
That's going to be,
from 5:30 to 7:30. Right. St. Louis Avenue and 14th Street.
Okay, you're taking the words right out of my mouth. It begins a series of public events which you've already acknowledged. Let's go back to the phones and bring in Liz calling from St. Louis dealing with the money issue. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi. I was just calling to find out if the project, the organization itself, is already designated as a nonprofit.
Yes, ma'am. We're 501c3, a nonprofit organization.
All right. Well, that answers Liz's questions. That was a terrible connection, Liz, but I'm glad we were able to get the gist of your question. Let's take another call. David is joining us from St. Louis. Go ahead, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. I guess I'm glad that you clicked me in right in leeway to what Don Marsh just stated. I'm excited about the possibility of brutifying Dr. Martin Luther King, and you're right, it's in every urban community across the country. What's strange here in St. Louis, when you look at from Dr. Martin Luther King from downtown all the way out to Wellston, it falls right into the enterprise zone, which is eligible for all kind of tax credits, tax breaks, and funding from HUD and the Department of Commerce. But it appears that no one has seen any interest in attracting those dollars or any development, and for the life of me, I couldn't understand why. So I'm hoping your organization will be one to help out small businesses and even housing programs along that strip.
Thank you so much for the call. I haven't heard the words enterprise zone in I don't know how many years. It's still active and up and running, huh?
Yeah, I believe it is. And that's one of the things we're looking to even include at least a block on either side of Martin Luther King and try and set up a community development zone that adds to just beyond just the street, that we're including the entire sort of neighborhoods that are around the street.
We have an email here from Jill. Let me read this because it's relevant, I think. I love the cleanup information, but when they clean up in my neighborhood, it is dirty within 24 hours because of dumping and people throwing trash out the window as they pass by. How are you going to keep it clean? This is an initiative that the city really needs because it affects all of North St. Louis.
Yeah, we hope to keep we've been engaging with the community on a weekly basis, and we feel like, first of all, we have to change the mentality of the neighborhood, the people that live in the neighborhood. So we've been engaging with them and let them know there is a hope out there, and we are not a fly-by-night organization. They've had a lot of promises broken to them, and that's all they need is some encouragement
I think, but once they see the interest in the neighborhood, that there will be a change in the self-esteem of the community, so that will lessen the likelihood that people would do that.
Yes.
Getting young people out there to help with the cleanup is a good start, because if they've invested that time and effort, maybe they'll be a little less throw that McDonald's wrapper or whatever.
A lot of them just need role models and leadership to It's not a lot of leadership out there for the children. So
let's take a call from Mary, who's calling from St. Louis. Mary, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just have a comment, only not a question. But Mr. White, I just wanted to say thank you for doing what you're doing and really taking the lead on this project. I saw you receive the Rosa Parks Award from Washington University in January, and I was just really impressed with the passion and energy that you have behind you individually and with this project. So I just wanted to say thank you and keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Mary, thank you for your call. I'm going to try to squeeze Brett in. We've got 2 minutes left. Brett, go ahead, please, but make it quick.
I just called in earlier, or just listened earlier, and one of your guests mentioned they're working with the Art Institute Center of St. Louis.
Yes.
The graphic design needs.
Yes.
I would like to just say that St. Louis Community College Forest Park has a great graphic design program that is, has lots of diversity in it, and it's a not-for-profit school, whereas the Art Institute of St. Louis is a for-profit entity. And it's in St. Charles. It's not even in St. Louis County. So why aren't you looking into using the...
We are looking for any and all opportunities like that. It's just that I'm an instructor there. I teach at Art Institute, and that's my connection there. That's all.
Well, the reaction we've had initially here during this brief appearance here today seems very, very positive. I would guess you'd be encouraged, Melvin.
Definitely.
Absolutely. There.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you both so much for being with us. Good luck with the project. Again, I'll remind our listeners there's a fundraising event Monday the 29th at the Creative Exchange Lab, 14th and St. Louis Avenue, right across from Crown Candy, which most people know. That's happening from 5:30 to 7:30. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Good luck to you.
We appreciate
you. Good luck.
Thanks
for the opportunity.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Melvin White and Derek Lauer, thank you so much for being with us. And we thank you folks for joining us as well. Ask you to join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, and we'll talk about the contemporary music ensemble Alarm Will Sound and their multimedia program on the year 1969. He'll also take a look at UMSL's 34th Annual Storytelling Festival, and in the next of our Soundbite series produced with Sauce Magazine, he and his guests will examine the latest trends in food in the region. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Spencer Reed, and Drew Becker. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.